This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good afternoon. My name is Leonard Sands.
And my name is Debbie Deal.
And this is Nailed It. This is construction, design, real estate, everything construction you could think of show that we hope that the listeners of 96.9 are going to find very useful. Things are going to be shared that we hope you guys can learn, which really is the most impactful part of the Bahamian economy outside of our number one and two that we think touches and concerns everything in the Bahamas. But before we do so, we have to thank our wonderful sponsors. And Debbie, you have our sponsors information there?
I do. We are sponsored today by ART. ART Development is the sole supplier of MST fiberglass rebar in the Bahamas. Let's get rid of cracks in concrete forever. No rust and no corrosion. We're also sponsored today by CEMEX, protecting the environment with our new improved green product committed to building for the future. CBS Bahamas Pro Store aims to provide contractors, DIYers, and other industry professionals with unbeatable service on a variety of building products. It's located on 103 Robinson Road. It proudly features bulk selection of common building materials and is open from Friday from 7 until 4. You can browse and see exactly what they have in their warehouse. And we
final
also
sponsor is ARM Caribbean, which is our air conditioning, mechanical, and plumbing contractor servicing the entire Bahamas. So let's get right into it. The way this show is set up, generally, Debbie and I are going to have conversations about construction, about experiences, about training, about learning opportunities, about things that go right, things that go wrong, about the process of building. You're going to learn how things should happen in construction in the Bahamas, from building your home to renovating a room to making an application for development. This is what the show is about. We thought it was important that we kind of demystify the construction process because a lot of people have ideas about how it works, but we could lend a lot of clarity to how the process really happens.
Yeah, and another thing that we have found, by the way, we are the Bahamian Contractors Association. That is who we are representing.
Absolutely.
And Leonard is the president of the board, and I sit on the board as a trustee. We really believe that there's a disconnect between the general public and the construction and the contractors industry. And what do I mean by that? Well, most people really don't even think about construction. But it affects every single human being in this country, from the baby that's born in a hospital that was built by a contractor. By the places that we take our kids in the morning to school, they were built by contractors. The churches we go to on Sunday were built by contractors. Our tourists come into this country and stay in hotels that were built by contractors. The roads were built by contractors. The seawalls were built by contractors. So every single person in this country is touched by the construction industry, but there doesn't seem to be a relationship between what I've just told you about those buildings and the actual industry and the persons that actually execute it. We would like to actually break that chain.
Yeah, bridge divide.
Yes,
And sometimes, Debbie, you know, to your point, even when there is less of a disconnect, I think sometimes the relationship is strained because there are things that persons have misconceptions about.
Correct.
About contracts. Let's start it right off.
Mm-hmm.
Many persons, when they start the home building process, have a great relationship with contractors, and somewhere along the line, the relationship gets muddy, and then all of a sudden you hear everyone saying, oh, these terrible contractees, this person ripped me off, and that person ripped me off. And you know what? Some of those instances may be legitimate, but I think a lot of those instances would be greatly reduced if there's an understanding from the general public and everyone concerned. What is the role of the contractor? So let's get into it.
Okay.
Your many years of experience as being a professional builder in this country, talk to us about what is the role of the general contractor in the simplest form for our general listening audience to understand from a residential standpoint.
The general contractor is the entity that has been hired to build a building based on drawings that have been presented to the build to the contractor and that he is quoted on, and the building permit has been issued, which entitles the contractor to actually build. So that's basically what the contractor's job is to build what is given to him.
Absolutely.
In the drawings and what is part of our building code.
Yeah.
And what is a part of what the Ministry of Works role is. That is basically what a contractor does.
Good. So I'm glad you touched on that point and you spoke to that very clearly and concisely, because you and I have met many, many persons who think their contractor's job is to design their home. Find them a plot of land to build.
If we were architects, we'd be licensed.
You understand
Leonard.
Me? Find them a plot of land and to do all these things outside of that. But in the definition of the word contractor, you come to the contractor with something you need built. The contract is the arrangement that you and that person build.
Correct.
But of course, the relationship could only happen in confines with the laws that guide construction in the Bahamas. So the first thing we want to look at right now, and I have a copy, and Debbie has a copy, of the Building Regulations Act, and we just pulled out Chapter 200. Very, very expansive document. We would encourage all laypersons, and architects, engineers, whomever, to make your clients aware of what they should be doing and when it comes to going through the process. So if you look at what it contains inside just Chapter 200 of Building Regulation, it is an act to regulate the construction, alteration, and repair of buildings to provide for the reinstatement or removal of dangerous or dilapidated buildings, to authorize the publication of a building code for the purposes connected herewith. So all it's that really saying is that the Building Regulation Act controls anything that you build in the Commonwealth of Bahamas. Now, Debbie, it was so interesting that, you know, even most recently and years back, we had this big challenge about persons building without a permit, and no one seemed to know whether they could build or they couldn't build. But, you know, we just kind of set that clear.
Correct.
The Buildings Regulations Act sets out who can build and what the process is. They control who can build anyway. You can't just go and build something.
Right. And as we've seen, that does happen. And people get all upset when the government decides to take action.
And tear down the structure.
And knowing that this Regulations Act has been in place since 1971.
1971.
1971.
Pre-independence.
Correct.
Pre-independence.
Correct.
So What it says is that as contractors, we try to stay within the confines of the Building Regulations Act and the Bahamas Building Code. We can't speak to persons who act outside of that, but we know that our job is to follow the Building Regulations Act and the Bahamas Building Code.
Correct. So when you, the building code is something that every contractor should have a copy of in their office. If they don't, they need to get one because that is vital. There's changes in that. I looked at how old mine is, 1987. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah, anyway, 2003 now, but that's fine.
Yeah, because of so many changes that happen, and now, of course, we got more things happening that are changes due to climate change, you need to know exactly what you're doing, and you need to make sure that you are building a building that you would live in yourself, not just a building that you're building for a client, and it doesn't really matter where it is and if it's high enough off the ground and all of that kind of stuff. If there's a suggestion that needs to be made to the client, mm-hmm. that maybe you should actually build this building two blocks higher yeah. because of A, B, and C, mm-hmm. that maybe that's not our job to tell them. But in my instance, as a builder,
advice.
Because I love what I do,
I would
tell my client that I would do that if I were you, right? So those are the kind of things that a contractor can actually
add to what
the contractor does.
Now, and I like the point you make. Add to it.
Correct.
Now, if the contractor does not do that, mm-hmm. they're not a bad contractor.
No.
They may not be as vested as you mm-hmm. in that relationship with the client, mm-hmm. or they may want to just keep it strictly contractual. Mm-hmm. I was contracted to build this house exactly how it's set out, and the architect has two courses a block. I've seen it rain in this area. It may be need four. What I price for two, I'm going to build two. So it's these kind of things where I think as we continue to go through these shows, we have to talk about what the contractor's supposed to do different from what you think they're supposed to do.
Correct. Let's
talk about another example right now. Right now, it's raining.
Yes.
It's raining everywhere. Flooding is everywhere.
And everybody's looking for a contractor
yes,
to fix the roof.
To fix the roof, or they're looking at their house and say, you know, all this water is going to probably be an issue for me.
Yes.
That's not the contractor's fault.
No.
That's another agency. You got to look at civil design, your roadways, and your drainage system. Those persons.
And town planning.
Are the persons, responsible for making sure that you're in an area that does not flood to a place where you can't access your property. That's right. Not the contractor's fault.
Correct.
And I think we have to say that to the public so they understand the contractor is responsible for building your home.
Right.
The place where your home is mm-hmm. and how that area is designed to withstand whether hurricanes, flooding, climatic situation, that's not within his ambit. Now, we're not coming on here and saying that the contractors don't sometimes do a poor job of constructing mm-hmm. your home, but mm-hmm. we are saying that you have to understand that there are other players involved in an environment of construction that's not just a contractor.
Right. And also, you know, yes, there may be contractors that are not doing their job properly,
mm-hmm.
but there's also other professions that also
are not doing
their job properly. Like you might get a plan that when you look at it, you think, what was this person thinking?
Yeah.
Right. So these are, but unfortunately, because no one really knows and everybody wants to be able to blame somebody.
They blame the contractor.
Thank you. The contractor
gets
blamed
for
every single person. And I think the purpose of this show is we want you to call in. We want you to text us. We want to hear your problems. We want to understand what you've gone through mm-hmm. so that we can actually, on this show, through this show and mm-hmm. through the Contractors Association, we can help to change the industry. We can help to better the industry. We can help to have better relations with clients. We can help to have better relations with bankers, mm-hmm. with the real estate companies. We need to be able to do that, and we can, but we need your feedback.
Yeah.
We can't do it on our own.
Yeah.
We know what we see.
Let me give you an example right now, and I don't want to, and I won't call names,
mm-hmm.
but I think if you and I may know, right? But if you, right now, you're looking for a home site, right?
Uh-huh.
And you want to build a home. And you're looking at some places that you could construct your home. And right now, during dry times, the land is great. And during times like this, it's covered in water. Okay, so it doesn't mean that that site is unusable. What it may mean is you have to spend a bit more money to put enough fill on that property or gravel on the property so that in the area where it rains, it's still below where you've stacked up all this gravel. And that's going to cost you more.
Right, and you have to also make sure that the other people that live beside you in that subdivision do exactly the same thing.
They're going to flood and you're not going to flood. Right. So these are the kind of things that contractors know. And I want to say, contractors know a great deal from experience.
Correct.
We've seen a lot. We've done a whole lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Gone through all of it. So when we offer sometime advice, it's really because we've seen what can happen. We've seen these kind of experiences, and contractors can help with that. But more importantly, let's talk about contracting to the contractor. You have to have a proper contract to engage someone.
Yes.
You can't just go to somebody and say, "I have my plans. I need my house built." Okay, that's the general idea. But what's inside your home? Like, my plans are there, and some plans don't have enough information. It doesn't have what kind of countertops you have. It doesn't have what kind of tiles you want. It doesn't have. What are your electrical fixtures? What is the brand? What's the specification? What type of paint you want? That's not the contractor's responsibility to guess what that is.
Right.
Your architect and or you should write that out so the contractor can properly price for that type of
work. Right. And or the contractor, this is what I would do, is I would basically say that this is how I'm quoting the project, and I would quote it, 5 1/4 inch baseboard, 5 1/4 inch crown mold, and a particular brand of paint, the kind of windows, insulated impact windows, the kind of shingles that I would use, just so that the client would know exactly what materials they are getting, so they could actually go to the stores and see what it is that we're quoting on. Because they're laymen. They don't know anything
they
about
don't know.
It.
Yeah.
And the only way to guide them, and I hate when I see a contractor who has just given a person a quote of, to build this house 1,500 square feet at such and such a lot is
$390,000. Yeah,
but not telling you anything
about
because
it.
Because then you can't complain about anything because no details were actually given. And again, that's one of the reasons that we need to make sure that this board from the
construction contractors board
is chosen so that we can actually start regulating this and doing it properly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
These are some of the things challenges that we have that affect challenges that you have.
Yeah. Now, Debbie, and I like the point in the reference that you just made about that, because one of the things, and I've seen that type of contract, and it obviously it was after something went, a lot of things went terribly wrong. And I asked the homeowner, how did you know what you was getting? The person gave you a one-liner, I will build this house for $400,000.
Right.
What's in the house?
Right.
I don't know. So you then come after the fact, gone all terribly wrong. Look at this. This door is terrible. I would have never wanted that door. Well, I'd say, well, I don't know what y'all would have agreed, because it only said he's going to build your house.
Right.
It didn't go into any kind of detail. So a part of what we hope to achieve is educate the consumer so they are a lot more thorough, knowledgeable, understanding of the process.
And
so
also the financial institutions need to be educated
as well.
Somebody comes to them to borrow money, you need to make sure that the quotes that you're getting are detailed.
So that the
bank will know what the client is to expect.
Yeah.
So that if the client does complain, then you could go back to the contract and see what is in the contract, right? Those are the kind of things that I think are so important.
So we got a lot of ground to cover, and we won't cover it all inside this one show.
Housekeeping.
But we have a bit of housekeeping to do, so I just want everyone to tune in, and we got to get more into this wonderful conversation about construction and how we can help through the BCA and Guardian Radio FM.
Impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com. Jump in your Japanese import and you turn the radio on, all you hear is. For the month of September, the HitSpot will install a band extender in your Japanese import for the discounted rate of only $79.99, VAT included. Get your band expander installed today at the HitSpot and listen to
Star 106.5.
Plus, get fresh news and smart talk on
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to Nailed It on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. Listen on TV on Cable Bahamas channel 969 or BTC Flow channel 612. You can download Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on Guardian Radio app. Text us on Guardian Radio text line 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Powered by BTC, standard text rate supply. Call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 326-4259. Or call toll-free from the Family Islands 242-300-5720. So, Debbie, we talked a bit about contractors. Now, we talked about a little bit about, you know, some of the things that you look out for. But one of the major things that we haven't addressed is, where do you find contractors? How do you know who's a contractor? That's a real interesting thing, considering that, A, the Construction Contractors Act was passed into law in 2016, December. However, there is no list of contractors per the statute act. A, there is no place to see the licenses for the contractors who would be licensed under the act. But you could come to the Bahamian Contractors Association and we could give you a list of our members. But Debbie, just talk to us about the confusion that people must have when you're doing all this development in the country. How do you find a contractor?
Well, there's my best friend, Google. You could do that and get some names, right? But you don't know anything about the contractors until you actually call them or try to find somebody else who might have used that person, right? It is a challenge because Since there's no licensing, and since there's no list of contractors, because how could there be? Because that would have to be governed by the government, right? Building control would have entities and that have actually come in there to actually apply for permits and that kind of stuff, you know, to do a job. But they don't give out those names.
No.
So you basically take, well, my husband's brother's cousin knows a guy who's a contractor.
Who's a contractor.
And that ends up, it's either that or word of mouth.
Oh, word of mouth.
Like, I've contacted you and said, I need such and such, and you've given me a suggestion.
Absolutely.
And I use the suggestion because I trust you 100%. But you don't know who you're, otherwise, you don't know who you're getting your information from.
And that's
that is
crazy.
Yes, because, it is crazy.
Debbie, imagine now, let's take it away from us being Bahamians and doing this stuff. Now, your friend comes from Canada. They bought a piece of land and they want to build a house.
Right.
They want a contractor now.
Right.
What would they do if they were in Canada?
Oh.
Where would you go to find the contractors in Canada?
Well, there would actually be, in each area, there would be lists of contractors. There's actually...
Provided
like,
by whom?
Well, I think, I don't know, to be perfectly honest, but I know it is provided more than likely by the government.
And the contractors are licensed in Canada?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Are you kidding? Yes, most definitely they are.
So the licensing authority would have a license, would have a list of all the licensed contractors.
I actually needed to have a crate made to send things from my mother's house when she passed away. And I wasn't able to find a licensed person to do the crate for me. And I could not have a crate built unless it was done by a, licensed contractor.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
So, but at the same time, what's interesting is that because their system is more organized, they can go to a place and look down this list and find a licensed contractor. Right. So while we talk about...
Like the real estate company there has a blue book. And the blue book goes through every single street, every single number on that street, and how much... who lives there and how much that property cost.
Wow. So that's a lot of progress inside that area as well.
Yes.
But going back to the area with contracting and contractors, so you could imagine the difficulty in a homeowner or a potential homeowner who's not from the Bahamas and they want a contractor. They are literally just clueless. Where do I go? So I often say the amount of work that happens, and good or bad, is still not reflective of all the work that can happen because there's so many people who probably want contractors, don't even know the first step and how do I find one.
Right. So you can imagine being a Bahamian and you're looking for a contractor and you take a recommendation from somebody.
From somebody, yeah.
So hang on. What would happen if when somebody was building a hospital here, they just took somebody's recommendation to build a hospital?
Oh, that'd be
now,
terrible.
The only reason I'm using that relationship is because construction is important. No, whether you're building a small home, a large home, whatever you're building, it's vital. This is something that you are going to be putting your family in.
Yeah.
This building has to be able to protect you
and shelter you.
Be able to go through hurricanes and all the weather that we have to go through.
And you can't take that for granted.
No, you can't.
It's the safest place you have.
And I know you and I have all met, I think everybody out there has met a sweet talker, somebody who comes in a nice fancy
and
truck
and tell you,
and
I can do this.
And then you find out halfway through the job that is not the case.
Yeah.
And again, we're not talking about all contractors. We're just talking about the fact that because there is no licensing, because there is no list of contractors that you can go to that have been approved by the government, right? People are really left to do it on their own.
And so this is the kind of the point that the BCA often has this conversation with many persons, some stakeholders, some government officials, and they ask, why is it important to have licensing? Why is it important for the board be appointed? If I wanted to find a doctor, I can contact the medical association. I could get a list of all doctors. All, not some doctors.
And they all have licenses.
And they have to have licenses. Mm-hmm. If I wanted an attorney, I could go through the Bar Association's listing of all attorneys, or I could find out who are all the qualified attorneys in this country. Right. The same thing for accountants. Mm-hmm. Now, you can't do the same for contractors. So if you wanted someone to build a home, you're going to ask, because you heard the name Debbie Dale, Debbie, can you do my home? Or you're going to hire someone else or some guy who did their home, cousin, friend. That's not the way that should be. Shouldn't it also be as easy as that? I want to see the list of licensed contractors in my country. That's as simple as it needs to be.
So I touched on the very beginning that construction and contractors touch every single human being's life in this country. Yet, the construction industry and the contractors are not treated in that fashion.
No.
It's like we don't really exist. We are there when they need us. We're there when the roads need paving. We're there when they need to build a bridge or a hotel or a hospital or renovate something.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, we're not. It's like we're not really there.
We're not really there, except for you see us every day.
Yes.
which is wild.
Yes.
So let's talk now about the things that can happen wrong. Let's talk about what can happen wrong. There's a lot of things can happen right. Let's deal with the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You deal with a rogue contractor.
Right.
What is a rogue contractor in your opinion?
A person that can generally not read a plan, number one.
We've seen many of those.
Yes. Number two, somebody who doesn't know how to take proper measurements.
Yep.
Somebody that doesn't know the 3-4-5 rule to make square, mm-hmm. a building square.
Does not have the type of experience for the service that they're offering.
Right.
The person
that you see a backhoe throwing in fill into a foundation, and then the backhoe uses his bucket and pulls it down, and then the contractor just ends up putting the viscreen and the wire on top of that once the electrical is in there, that is not construction. That is just getting the job done quickly so that I can get my next payment.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing. That's why a lot of houses have places where the floor is cracking, where the floor basically sags, where the crown molding starts to drop because the ceilings are dropping, because the floor was not tamped down properly. These are the kind of problems that everybody complains about. Oh my gosh, why does my house do this? No one has been educated. And we, through the Contractors Association, are going to do education.
Yeah.
We have been talking with, this is just for the audience, the Newfoundland and Labrador Contractors Association. And we've been talking with them a lot lately about the courses and the things that they have that are available to us. They have the same kind of weather that we have, but the opposite extreme, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the products that they use are the same products that we would actually need and use. And, you know, you're looking in your own backyard. Sometimes you have to look outside of your own backyard and see what else is going on, what information and what advice can we get from other associations that we can use and bring back to our country to make our country great.
That's wonderful that we're starting to have those kind of relationship and conversation, because mm-hmm. I think education is going to be the way we change and improve
and we are looking for education for our own selves.
Absolutely. So just want to go back to the importance of the Bahamas Building Code and the Building Regulations Act. So we're in, again, Section 200, Section 4. And I want to read something to everyone so they can understand. Subject to the provisions of this act, no person shall commence or carry on or cause to procure to be commence or carried on any building operation save under or in accordance with the conditions of a valid building permit and in accordance with the provisions of this act and any rules of the Bahamas Building Code. Why is that important? If you have a contractor who's willing to start your project mm-hmm. without a valid permit, you should start to ask questions whether this is a rogue contractor.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's the first place you start. Right. Yeah, we could just go and start building. No, really. While we say you can, but you shouldn't.
Especially because, when they hear somebody say, oh, we're so anxious to get in the house, our rent is going to be up and that kind of stuff.
No. So you want to start right.
Yes.
And this is where we talk about the importance of a contract, even though we don't have the process in place for you to understand the qualifications and the capacities of all contractors, there are some signs that you see from good contractors. They tend to want to follow your plans and specifications. They tend to always want to say, let's do it by the book. What is the building code say in this situation? What does your architect suggest? Okay, I'm unsure about that. Can we call an engineer? It's those kind of things that kind of tell you this is a good contractor.
Mm-hmm.
Any contractor would often seem to have a solution for everything. I would be very wary of, because I know for me, I don't like to offer experience or advice outside of the scope of what I'm doing. If I'm asked to put an extension on, I'm not going to tell you that, you know, we probably should excavate this footing and put a basement in here too. Yeah, let's get the engineer involved inside that. You know, that's what you do professionally. But many persons say, yeah, sure, I can do that as well. Then the whole house collapsed on it, and you suffered the loss because this guy's already gone. Like, yeah, I was like, I didn't get out of that with the building falling on top of me. So
right. You
have to be very mindful that contracting is a service provided to the public based on a set of principles that I'm contracting to do this or that, but I'm not interested in giving you advice on engineering, architecture, interior design, civil, you know, all that stuff shouldn't be the advice that's coming from your contractor all
correct.
The time.
And also, you know, you can actually draw your own drawings for your house, anything under 3,500 square feet and single story. So you don't have to have an architect to do that. A draftsman can do that, which, in my opinion, draftsmen become architects, but are we risking anything by having that done? That's something that has always concerned me.
But it is something that it's happening in wide practice, and their act allows for that,
with
the understanding that it's still the final drawings are supervised by a licensed architect. So even in that instance, the licensed architect is involved in the process, except for construction, where no one with a license is involved in the process, which is pretty wild to me.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of times I've had plans given to me that have absolutely no detail. I mean, the roof is detailed, you know, the 2x6s and all that kind of stuff and the pitch of the roof, but there's very little detail. And I guess in most instances, the reason that would be is because a person who's doing your drawing for you will give you a high price. I mean, you know that you can pay anywhere from $10,000 to $25,000, even up past that for drawings, or you can also get drawings for less money to fit into your budget. But when you're fitting something into your budget, make sure that you know or you have some guidance as to what you can actually do to build that. Because I've had people contact me and say, I really don't know what to do, and I need somebody to guide me and to tell me what it is that I need, because I don't want to build something and then have to turn around and go, oh, I wish I had found somebody who would help me because this isn't what I wanted.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, those are the kind of instances where, in speaking to many persons who have had bad experiences, there should have been resources that they could reach out to. There should have been someone they could talk to and find out, is this process going well? I think one of the deeper roles that the Contractors Association, the PCA, have to be interested about is how do we assist homeowners in the building process? How do we become more contactable for someone in the middle of the build to say, hey, this foundation wall doesn't seem to be going upright. And just explain the situation to us. And that's the kind of resource that the BCA is often here for as well.
Right. Well, we do have an administrator that you can actually call and leave your name and number and what it is that you want to do. And we reach out on a regular basis on that kind of an instance, right? We do luncheons once a month, and we generally have persons there as guest speakers, whether it be a banker or an insurance person or somebody to, you know, the new products that are coming out that we just set that are some of our sponsors today. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to be a member of the Contractors Association to come and have lunch or to come and sit in at a meeting
or call in and ask questions.
Sure.
And I think that's part of getting to understand the building process.
You come have and questions. Get to know call. Us as builders, though. Come and get to know us.
You could do that. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, you could come into space. But if you can't, send an email. You know, what we do have persons who email and ask their questions, and we invite those. And we also like when people call in and say, hey, I have this thing happening, or I've seen this happening. How do you feel about that? Is this going right? Is this going wrong? That's what the Contractors Association is there to help and provide, because we are a repository of information, and we have a large membership of professionals who've had many, many years of experience who could help you in your building process. So we're just going to take a quick break, and we'll be back after this.
jump in your Japanese import and you turn the radio on, all you hear is... For the month of September, the HitSpot will install a band extender in your Japanese import for the discounted rate of only $79.99, VAT included. Get your band expander installed today at the HitSpot and listen to
Star 106.5.
Plus, get fresh news and smart talk on
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
You try to rest, roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Wait, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, wait, just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
But it was serious. Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave his boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No, boy. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crock Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. We got a call on the line. Let's take this caller. Good afternoon, caller. You're live.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm well, sir. How are you?
Doing great, man. Doing great.
Good. I'm not a contractor. I have knowledge about building.
Mm-hmm.
Couple years ago, I understood that a friend of mine, he said he wasn't able to bid on the big contracts because of liability insurance, or the liability insurance was too high over here.
Mm.
And the bigger companies, I understood the bigger companies is get their liability insurance from Trinidad, which is a lot cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering how come the local contractors don't know this information, if it's true, and they need help on getting it.
I mean, that's a fair question, and I have heard about situations where, you know, insurances was not available locally, and persons had to go outside the country and get insurance. Not only Trinidad, there's other
jurisdictions
where you can get insurance. Now, one must note that if you have to get insurance that large that you have to go outside the country, that's a very, very, you know, sizable contract. We're probably talking about at least tens of millions of dollars, because you can get liability insurance for $1 million contract. You get liability insurance for $5 million contract. I think some of the times we misunderstand bonding, which we don't offer locally. You definitely have to get a bond outside of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, unless you have an incredibly strong relationship with an insurer who will extend you that exceptional courtesy. But it is a good point, and I think there's a lot of discussions that can be had between the Contractors Association and the Bahamas Insurance Commission to see how, and we did ask before, to see how there can be more vehicles made available to locals. Pardon?
Like I said, the association may be able to assist with it.
Yeah, we do have a relationship with them, and we certainly have asked a question before. We have had a response from them, and we probably need to go back to them and see how we could, you know, get some type of insurance, liability insurance, that it's affordable, A, and also available locally, so you don't have this unfair competition with the very large contractors for that scope of work. Well, okay, thank you very much for your call. Yeah, thank you.
And I have a text as well here. It says, what I find with a lot of local contractors is that you agree to a timeline when your project should be finished, but they often some days never show up to work and never give you reasons why. Extending the contract months, even a year after the completion date. Why are Bahamian contractors so lousy when it comes to customer service or accountability? They act as if they are irreplaceable and they are doing you a favor. Well, the first thing I need to ask about this is, the contract that you have, what type of contract do you have, and are there penalties in the contract? Most contracts have an actual penalty about a timeline, and then they also have a clause in them where if something happens like a hurricane, I'm going to use that as an example, comes, and then all of a sudden everything has to stop and, you know, everything comes to a screeching halt and your deadline for October 1st is put back to maybe March or April of the next year. But you also, again, make sure that your contract actually has a penalty in it for not finishing on time. And there has to be a reason why. Also with change orders. Sometimes clients do a lot of change orders on the job, but they don't consider the fact that the contractor actually has to take longer to actually do the job because of those change orders. If you're a smart contractor, you'll just say, if we're going to do this change order to do this, I am adding 1 or 2 weeks to the contract. Those are the kind of things that you can actually do. And, you know, I guess there are some people that just are not going to care about it and know that there is no penalty for them, so why do they bother? And some people don't show up on particular days because they may be waiting for an inspection. They may be at a stage where they have to do something, or they're waiting on something to come in. Like maybe they're waiting for trusses, and the trusses aren't completed yet. There's a lot of reasons why something could be late, but yes, you know, we should all be accountable, but we also need to make sure that our contracts have all of the things in them that we actually need. And that's something that the BCA can actually do training on to potential persons who want to build or renovate projects, so that we could actually explain to them all the things that should be in the contract. Because a contract isn't just for the contractor's purpose, it's for the client as well. At the end of the day, you want to be able to walk down the grocery store aisle and see your client and say, hey, how's it going? As opposed to seeing your client and going down the next aisle because you don't want to run into them. And so the contract is for both the contractor and the client. Absolutely. I hope that helps.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And Debbie, just speaking to that, you know, comment and point that you made, you know, the challenge is really in the industry between the contractor and the client. Let's have reasonable expectations. And I think this person may have had an experience where the contractor looked at a set of drawings, looked at the scope of the project, and thought that it could have been done in a certain time frame. And clearly, they may have been wrong. Mm-hmm. Let's put aside the mitigating factors. Maybe they just was off. Debbie, you and I have been through this long.
Oh, yeah.
Long and enough to know that you go inside a home, especially let's do a renovation, and you walk through the home and everything looks okay, and say, yeah, we could do this in a month. You tear open one wall, and then you find out that, oh my God, there's no structural column there. The electrical is all screwed up here. And all of a sudden, you think, crap, we said a month. Now you have to add another 2 months of this. But you have to communicate.
But as a contractor, you should put in a disclaimer. I always put in a disclaimer that we don't know what we will come up with.
Of course. And
then if we do come up with something, we have to have a meeting and discuss how we move forward.
And this is where we talk with the
correct.
Having a relationship and conversation. Because if let's say they're doing a foundation, And I get my backhoe and then I start digging this foundation. I get in the sinkhole. Well, I can't just normally go as I want to go. We have to think with an engineering solution
Correct.
For the sinkhole.
Correct.
But this is where having a professional contractor, and we say professional very loosely because there is no standard to determine who a professional contractor is mm-hmm. because we passed the act. But, of course, we haven't constituted the board, right?
Mm-hmm.
So someone who's experienced enough to know, okay, at this juncture, this is impacting how we go forward. Let's mm-hmm. talk about it. Here's the things we need involved. The engineer need to tell us, what do we do about the sinkhole?
Correct.
I can't just say, oh, we can just throw some big rocks in there and move forward. No, why don't the engineer tell us how we go about there? And it could need time for the engineer to look at it and us come to understanding. Maybe more drawings have to be procured, and then we go get another permit. I mean, there's a lot of things that need to happen properly to do the sink.
Yeah, that's happened twice to me in my history.
Absolutely. So we got another text coming in. The text reads, in regard to hiring a contractor via a mortgage, would a contractor who requests funds to mobilize raise a red flag?
No.
Does it mean that he doesn't have the funds to even meet the payroll eventually? Let me answer this, and then, Deb, you could give your experience. I do a lot of research in construction. I've been in this space for a very long time, trained from the United States, went to college for it. One of the things I find it interesting is that you're coming to a contractor to build your house. It's not the contractor's house.
Correct.
Why do you think the contractor should put money in your house? In the United States, the financing relationship in Canada, you go to a bank, a lending institution, the bank gives the client the money to build their house. The client then gives the contractor the money to build a house. It is something that we often have done here. But I find it peculiar, and I've turned down many, many jobs because I say this simply. Had I not met you, my $50,000 is in my bank account. Doesn't have to be engaged for any reason. Now I've met you, you want my $50,000 to come out of my bank account to engage your project. That's not the way to do business.
And that's not going to happen. I got to be honest. If I wanted a house, that house in that location, I would have built it. I don't want to build there.
No, you want to build it.
I already have a house. So if you want me to build the house, mobilize me.
Yeah.
Because people don't understand that it's an expense, right? But the first stage is not where the money goes.
Money,
if you have windows that you have to order, they're going to take 20 weeks to get to you. If you have anything like that, that's going to take forever to get to you, you have to make sure that you've done those deposits in time, or you're not going to be able to finish like in the first text that we got. You won't be able to finish because you had to wait for money. We don't, like you said, we want our money's going to stay in our account.
In our account. What am I going to touch that for? But
right.
But I think it speaks to the culture we have in the bank. And this is, and we get into this more as we go on with these shows. The risk mitigation, all that is a risk mitigation strategy. Now, we're not saying in certain instances you should ask a contractor to engage, but to ask them to foot the first stage cost, that's different. That's entirely different. Okay, let's look at a $300,000 house. Typically, the first stage cost is 10% of that whole number. That's to get the foundation, the slab.
Right.
You're asking a stranger that you've just met. They don't know you either. Go to your bank, pull out $30,000 of your money, invest it into my site, my home, and I will pay you back.
Yeah,
That's a really weird request.
And what if you decide you just don't want to pay after
then
that?
What did they do?
Right.
They've lost their $30,000. Mm-hmm. So we're just speaking about the fact that while we understand that it happens, while we understand that even some banks require it, I know me and Debbie, I don't even engage a client who will tell me on a $1.5 million build, I have to come up with 10%.
Yeah.
That's $150,000 you want me to give to you for your house.
There's no way. There's no way I would do that.
No. But again, this is what some banks require.
Well,
I find that to be very strenuous on any contract of any size.
Unfortunately, I've known some persons who work in banks actually tell somebody if they don't have the mobilization, if they need mobilization, then that is a red flag, and that is not something that a banker should ever tell a client, because that is absolutely not the case. Maybe we also need to have a seminar or a webinar with bankers to let them know what an actual contract is for a contractor to be able to execute a job properly on time and in budget with a client.
Well, you know what I find it interesting? We're speaking as contractors now. If I go to buy a car, I have to come with the money for a car.
Mm-hmm.
I want the car.
Correct.
Does the car agency give me anything until I give them the money for the car?
Oh, no. And they don't let you take the car off the lot until it's paid for.
No. But you're going to someone who's billing a $300,000 thing for you, which you want, which you would benefit from. Mm-hmm. But you want the person who's going to build it for you give you their money. So, again, we don't want to belabor the point at all, but the fact of the matter is it does happen. It is common. There's many years a person's doing it. But generally, in the professional space, you won't find a multi-million-dollar contractor doing it, and you won't find the medium-sized guy doing it because professionally, you're engaging me to build your product.
And oftentimes,
my personal money should not be a part of that.
And oftentimes,
process.
That contractor who's had to start that job with no money will end up walking off that job at a particular stage because they just don't have the financing to do it. Because they never had that little teeny bit in the beginning. They never had that as a buffer to get them where they need to go.
But Debbie, too, you shouldn't need to engage that if the contract is written properly, if the contract is priced properly. If you give me the monies to build your project, that's what builds your project.
Correct.
Now, obviously, we have monies that sometimes we could advance it. Let's, mm-hmm. like the example you use. Mm-hmm. I'm on the floor stage. I know I need these windows because they take 20 weeks. I'm going to get to the window stage in 15 weeks. There could be an instance where you decide to take your money and advance the window payment.
If you're going to finish the job.
You may decide to do that, but it can't be a condition.
No.
It can't be a condition because you're contracting me to build your house, not become your personal financial institution. That's not the contract for. Because I got a nice rate. I'd like if my rate for being a contractor change entirely different if you want me to be a financier. I start at 20%. I'll tell you right now, we're going to go in that direction. So that was good. But more importantly, too, I think this is the kind of conversation that we want to have. And we want the public to engage us in this conversation. No question is too hard. No question is off the wall. Because guess what? Contractors, we see it all. We've seen things that we shouldn't build and be built. We've seen things that we couldn't imagine that wanted to be built and was built. So we're very excited when things like that happen. We got an next caller. We'll take this call.
I'd like to make another comment.
Oh, yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, I knew a few contractors back in the day, and then one or two now would still get caught up into it. They would give an estimate or a quote for a building or a structure in, say, April, May.
Yeah.
And by the time the bank approves it,
mm-hmm.
it's in the middle of the hurricane season.
Yep.
Materials gone up.
Can't get insurance.
Absolutely.
And they already been stuck to one price.
That's what a disclaimer
there was no
is
clause
for.
In the contract to say if price goes up, it would be on the customer.
Yeah.
But and this is the time of year. If I am building personally, I like to order my sun so that the rain could beat the salt out of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I'm ready to build, I have good sun.
Yeah, that's one good reason for actually adding specific things into your contract. Just like you just said, if things happen that are beyond our control, right, then things change. And that's why a contract can be written to accommodate all of those things.
Yeah. And then
because a contractor, what can we do when plywood goes from $30 to $120
exactly.
a sheet? What can we do? We can't. That's four times the amount of money.
Exactly.
A contractor will walk away.
Yeah.
No choice.
And Carla, that's a great question,
it
a
is.
Great comment, because, you know, we saw a lot of this happening to contractors during COVID. You imagine you're in the middle of a contract and there's a worldwide catastrophe called COVID-19. And then supply chain. Now, first of all, COVID caused construction to stop for a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then also what it impacted was materials coming in. So now you're in a project. It's May. Project should be finished inside August. But the world has stopped. You know what I found crazy? Banks in the Bahamas didn't appreciate that reality. Yeah. And still told the contractor, oh, well, you know, you got to figure it out because I need this mortgage to come to term in August like we promised. And even in situations where, okay, they give them the extra time because of COVID, what I didn't appreciate from many banks too, when materials shot up astronomically, the bank told their client, well, I'm not giving you any more money. The contractor doesn't have money outside of the contract money. So if you look around this island, projects that are stalled, it's because it was costed before the pandemic at $400,000. After the inflation, of course, after the procurement challenges, the contract is probably now at $475,000. And they looked at the contractor and the client and say, one of y'all got to come up with $75,000. I know who can't come up with $75,000. Correct. I can't because it's your house. You know who also can't? The person who got the mortgage from the bank. Correct. They can't. Correct. I didn't understand why the lending institution didn't understand the nature of the situation and give the additional monies to complete the project. Because it's not like the client didn't want the house anymore.
Right.
It's now just outside of the original budget.
Everybody should want it to come to fruition.
Yeah, but yeah. We could tell you about many, many instances right. where that did not happen.
Right. I think we should tell everybody how they can get in touch with us. Because
oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. So you can call the BCA Monday to Thursdays, unfortunately not on Fridays, at 356-8850. And you can send an email at admin@behamancontractors.com. And we could answer any question that you have.
Yes. And it's been great. This is a historical moment, to be perfectly honest. There's never been a show that has been on construction only.
No.
Never.
No.
And I don't know of any nonprofit who's actually done a show of their own. Do you?
I'm not sure, but I stand to be corrected if there is one.
Yes,
so.
Me too. But
we're very excited about this. And we hope that everything that we offer and talk about and discuss on the show helps to bring some clarity in the construction industry and adds value to your building process.
Right, so and we will see you here next week
at 6:30 on Nailed It.